All right, take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And for some of you, it's just going to be milk today, but that's all right. And I find more and more, I don't know, maybe it's just being an evangelist, whatever. I know Brother Gibb gets into more of the deep stuff, but I find more and more I'm doing just basics, and it seems like the Lord's in that. I guess it's because that's what my brain can handle, but anyway, Romans 8, we're just going to go over eternal security this morning, and Romans chapter 8 is where we'll start from, and you know, it's amazing. Tell you what, before I get going, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be in a Bible-believing church this morning. God, that we know that that book is true, that there's no mistakes in it. And God, I never cease to forget that there aren't many of these on the earth today. And God, we have the privilege to be in one this morning. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would clear our hearts and our minds from the distractions of this life. I pray, God, that you would feed us from your holy word. God, I pray that the lesson today would help someone. Just pray that you'd be pleased. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8. You know, it amazes me more and more the lack of doctrine in many of the churches. And I know here that, you know, this church is an exception. That you people are, and I don't say this just, you know, puff you up or anything like that, but I'm aware of where I'm at. But in many of the churches, and really the fundamental churches, it's sad the lack of doctrine that's going out, and it's sad the lack of what you call it, getting rooted and grounded in the faith. There isn't a lot going on, and it's getting to the point in some of the fundamental churches. Say some getting more than some. That they when it comes to eternal security, it's almost getting to the point they don't even have it. That if you backslide, you never were saved. And they do a lot of retreads and stuff like that. And but you're getting this stuff today, and for you, maybe some of you it's milk, but for a lot of people it's like, wow, that was good. And so we'll go over it, and let's see how the Lord leads. But Romans 8, let's start, let's see, it's all good, but let's start in verse 31, Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Isn't it good to be saved? Amen. Man, we're on the winning side. I mean, the Lord's interceding for us. Tell you what, just more and more, it's just good to be saved. Know that one of these days, we'll be home. We'll be home. We'll be out of here. Thank God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall a tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's a good position to be in. You know that? But the thing is, you need to be in Christ. If you're here today and you're not saved, then you're not in Christ. So this lesson really will not apply to you unless you get saved. Now, if you're here today and you're not saved, get saved. Get saved. Ask the Lord to save you. If you know you're with friends today, get born again and join us. We're on our way to heaven. And join us. Tell you what, once you get saved, man, the Lord's going to keep you. Thank God. You're going to make it. And I'll tell you what, you know, you can't say amen, amen. I'll tell you what, I mean, to be saved, I mean, going to heaven. Tell you, you're on your way to hell at one point, weren't you? Amen. But right there is a great text on being able to keep your salvation, and that we'll get into some other stuff in a minute. But like I said, you must be born again. And if you're here today, when we give the invitation, it's not an invitation to join this church. It's an invitation to ask the Lord to save you. We were in a church recently, and there was somebody, they were lost. They were in the church. That's what it was. He was an ex-mafia hitman, and he was in the church. And he was amazed. He'd of course, grown up Roman Catholic, and he was amazed that everybody's so happy. They're just so happy. And he figured the reason was is they had money hid in the church, and they knew where it was, and that's why they were happy. Because he couldn't figure out any other reason why they would be so happy. And the preacher said that as he was preaching, he said this guy, this visitor, he looked like he was really concentrating on the sermon. Boy, he's really getting it, you know. He just really concentrating on what was being said. And that wasn't it at all. He was concentrating on where they hide it. Where's the money? I know they got the money right here. And it looked like he was into the sermon. He was nowhere to be found. Man. He's talking about where's the money, and he came back to rob the church. And the preacher was there and ended up leading him to the Lord. But that guy needed to get saved. He ended up getting saved. Praise God. Thought, you know, wow, he's really into the sermon. He wasn't. He really wasn't. It's good to be saved. Good to be saved. Now, take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. And the love of Christ is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're not saved, you've got to be careful how do you say this. If you're today and you're not saved, you're not in the love of Christ. And, there's a way to say that stuff, there's a way that it is. And I remember down at school, we were preaching in the back of a truck on the fishing bridge. And I know the brother meant well. I mean, he really did. He meant well. And obviously, he hadn't been saved long, didn't have a lot of tact, and I didn't either. But we're in the back of this truck going down this fishing bridge, people fishing off this bridge. And this guy's preaching out of the back of the truck, and he said, I want you to know today, if you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to know you may think that the Lord loves you, but I want you to know that the Lord hates your guts. It's like, no, man, that's not the way to do it. But you take the love of God's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. You look to an old rugged cross and you see the love of God shed for you. And thank God it's good to be saved. But 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, and in order to understand eternal security, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But notice it says, for he, that's God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Now, I don't understand that. I understand easier how the Lord could bear my sins, how he could take my sins. But how is it the Lord became my sin? I don't understand that. I mean, do you ever meditate on the cross? Do you ever meditate on what the Lord did for you? Think about salvation. I mean, we deserve to burn in hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved us when we were unlovely, went to that old rugged cross. There, I mean, that Bible says, and the Lord said there in John 3, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How is it that the Lord would liken himself to a snake? You ever think about that? That's strange. I don't understand that. It says he became sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't know any sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is an amazing thing. Look at Psalm 22. Look at Psalm 22. Someday, I guess we'll fully understand it all. We'll get to heaven. But I tell you, we got a good Savior. And it's good to be saved. Nobody's ever loved me like Jesus. No one's ever cared for my soul like the Lord. And that he would go to that cross and become sin for me, become sin for you is an amazing thing. Look at Psalm 22. And to get the context, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, you know he said that on the cross. Look at verse 16. For the dogs encompassed me, the assembly of the wicked haven't closed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Well, you know that's talking about the Lord. Look at verse 18. They apart my garments among them, the cast lots for my vesture. Again, the context is the Lord. But look at verse 6. But I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men, despised to the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. He let him deliver him, seeing he delighted him. And he says, but I am a worm. What happens to the lost when they end up in hell? Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Something about the Lord when he's on that cross that spiritually he changes. He changes into a serpent, changes into a worm. He becomes sin for me. And he suffers what I would have suffered in hell on that cross. I understand that. Tell you what, that's essential for you understanding that you're saved, you're going to get to heaven, you're going to make it. He became your sin. Look back at 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians 5. If you're here today and you're saved, you're rich. You're rich. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And Jesus never sinned one time. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To realize this morning, if you're here today and you're saved, that the Lord looks upon you as if you're absolutely perfect, absolutely righteous. You've been justified by the blood. Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, the Lord will look at me, say, preacher, you don't look like you're perfect. I'm not, physically. Spiritually, I am. Spiritually, you have the righteousness of God clothing you. And that when the Lord looks at you now, he sees you just without spot and without blemish. Isn't that something? Think about that. I mean, we think about how black your soul was in sin before you got saved, and now just absolutely perfect, just absolutely clothed in the righteousness of God. That's how the Lord looks upon you this morning if you're saved. If you're saved, ain't that a blessing? Ain't that just something to think about? I tell you what, thank God for salvation. But you know, the brethren, many of them, they get going down, they don't understand it. And I've heard it preached. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. I've heard a priest say, well, bless God, if you're still doing the things that you used to do before you got saved, bless God, you're not saved. That Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You won't do the old stuff. Well, folks, when I got saved, I didn't get perfect overnight, physically, and I'm still not this morning. I mean, more and more, you get people get around, and I was in a church recently, said it was a Baptist church, but I said, I want you to know today that I sin every day. And they sat there and looked at me, and the preacher's wife went, shook her head. And the more and more I went going, it was like, these people don't believe they sinned. It said it was a Baptist church, but I really think it was Mennonite. I mean, they didn't believe. He said, bless God, you know, there is no more sin. I'm a new creature in Christ. Those old things have passed away. If you're still sinning, bless God, you're not saved. I thought, oh, man. You know, when I hear someone say that, I just think, you're not honest. You know that? You're just not honest. Man, I mean, if you know you the way God knows you, that book knows you, man, we sin every day physically. Spiritually, the Lord sees you absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. Thank God. You said, preacher, if that isn't what it's talking about, what's it talking about? I've seen preachers preach. So if you're still doing the old stuff, you know, then you're not saved. And people, that haven't been rooted and grounded come forward and say, okay, then I'll get saved for the third or fourth time, thinking that, okay, if I get saved, I won't have a desire to smoke anymore. I won't have a desire. I won't be angry anymore. I'll get the victory by getting saved, and then I won't do that sin anymore. Come up and get saved. And then they still got that temptation, the flesh, and honestly start thinking, maybe I can't get saved. Maybe I committed the unpardonable sin, and on and on. So, man, wait, there's many churches just like that. Just like that, I want to encourage you this morning that if you're saved, the Lord saved you. He's going to get you to heaven. Amen? You take, you see, preacher, what's it talking about? Look at verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Talking about, he said, know we no man after the flesh. When you get saved, you don't look at people the same way. When I got saved, I didn't look at people the same way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. In reference on how you look at people, all things become new. You say, what do you mean? When I got saved, I looked at mama differently. I looked at her as, my mom's lost. My mom's lost. My dad's lost. Are you saved? Are you lost? Tell you out and you're in a grocery store or whatever, talk to somebody, they're lost. Oh, I met someone today, they were saved. That's how you know people now. So, well, they're saved, they're lost. Yeah, I don't know, maybe that isn't you all the way, but I'll tell you what, I classify them that way, saved or lost. Just automatically, I need to witness to them. Are they saved? Oh, you know, whatever. Look at things differently now. Yes, you're different spiritually. Physically, you still got this flesh. Folks, this stuff right here, it doesn't want to read the Bible. This stuff doesn't want to pray. This stuff doesn't want to go to church. Some of you this morning, boy, you had a real battle. It's like, oh, come on, man, I just want to stay in bed. This feels so good. You know, and the Spirit said, no, you got to go. Come on, let's get up. Get going. And you got that battle. And you didn't have that battle before you got saved, but you got it now. You got it now. You must understand the two natures. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And this is where a lot of them don't understand. But you got two parts to you now. You got an old man, you got a new man. And the old man doesn't want to do right. You're going to fight him to the day you die. Look at Ephesians 4. Again, look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, ladies, that's not talking about you divorcing your husband, okay? I'm talking about that old person which is corrupt. See that? Notice that ye put off. It isn't something that's just automatic. You know, it's just like, well, there, I got the victory. I was witnessing to this guy, he's smoking a cigarette. Said he was saved. And I said, yeah, but there's a battle. You got the old man, you got the new man. I said, don't you have a battle with that? He said, no, I don't have a battle with that. No, I ain't got a battle with that. Like, well, you know, how'd you get the victory? He said, I just kicked him out. Said, kicked him out, no problem, no battle anymore. Thought, man, I kept with him. The guy, he was just self-righteous. I don't even think he was saved, but, you know, maybe he was. So just kick him out. Hey, it is a job every day to put this stuff down. And if I go a day without reading that Bible, it's amazing how fast this stuff just wells up. And the next day, it's like, gotta read my Bible. The flesh is always saying, no, you don't need to do that. No. It just springs up so fast. Say, no, you're dead. I got to mortify you. But it just doesn't stay dead. It just keeps coming up, and it's a battle. But you're put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created, created in righteousness, true holiness. You got two natures to you now. You got part of you, if you're saved, that wants to do right, that loves God, that enjoys praying, enjoys reading the book. Another part doesn't. If you don't understand that, I tell you, there's been a number of churches where I've went over this, and there's been people saying, but appreciate that. I was just wondering if I was saved, why do I still have this battle? I said, you explained it. You still got it. Still got that battle going on day in, day out, night and day. Just that old man saying, come on, let's go do this. Let's go do that. Get to the point now, we go out in the restaurants, it's all the old music. Man, it's there, man. It's stuff I used to listen to. Man, brings back them memories and stuff, and I get joking around, but I must admit my flesh enjoys it. I get in there, you know, and I start blinking my eyelids to the beat. You know, I look at Terry or Becca and say, you know, start blinking, and they're like, Dad, knock it off. You know, and I just be going, you know, and they're like, Dad, knock it off. You know, I do it to get their goat, but I am enjoying it too. You know, this flesh does. It's like, oh yeah, man. Tell you what, you got to watch that stuff. You know that? Yeah, that is just right there, boy. You let your guard down. Man, it wells up just, hey, any minute. You got an old man, a new man. And the one you feed is going to get stronger. I mean, you get feeding the flesh, and boy, it just wants more. You can't pamper it. You just got to mortify it. Hey, you got to get in that book. You know that. And you got to pray. You hear the preaching, and you get stronger in that. If there's somebody here today, and you're a new babe in Christ, you got to get in that book. You got to feed that new man, that new person, that you get stronger in the Lord. I mean, those of us been saved longer, what little victory we do have didn't come overnight. It takes work, takes years, and it takes time. And it's amazing now, we want people to be mature in the Lord overnight, seems like. It takes time, but says in verse 24 that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Can a Christian lie? Oh, yeah. They do it all the time. I believe the Bible's the Word of God. They don't believe it. You know, they do it all the time. Can Christians lie? Well, you hear some of the brethren and say, well, if you're still lying, then you're not saved. Like, come on, man. That's the old man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. You know, that's hard to do. I mean, you know, you speak the truth. You know, there's times like, you got to be tactful. Speak the truth in love. Say, yeah, brother, you know, you need to quit that, you know, or whatever, you know, you made me angry, you made me upset, you know, and I like that, and you know, whatever, speak the truth, every man, with his neighbor, if we are members one of another, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I think Lester Roloff said, you know, you ought to stay angry. there are things you ought to get angry about, but, you know, it ought to be the right kind of anger. I mean, sodomite marriages ought to really upset you, you know that? Well, you know, he's got to learn to live with them. No, we don't. Should learn to live with them. Yeah, rebuke the powers of darkness, all that stuff. Take people, they don't get angry at the right things. Get angry at the wrong things. Well, I don't know why they said that, and I don't know why they sat over there, and I don't know why the preacher would preach that. You know, but, well, you know, the lost to the lost, they're going to do those things. You've got a misplaced anger, you know that? You need to get in the book, get some things straightened out, but be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, can Christians steal? Can a Christian be a thief? Yeah, sure can. Sure can. You mean break into a Minute Mart or store and be saved on the way to heaven? Yep, sure can. Well, I just don't see how. You don't understand the two natures. You understand? I was in a church. It was a brighter church, but it's in a church, and the pastor and his wife, you know, I'd say something, or somebody would do something, you know, they'd go out and get drunk or something like that. You shouldn't do that sin, but they'd say, can a Christian do that? And they're serious. The preacher and his wife. Can a Christian really do that? It's like, oh, come on, man. You can do anything a lost person can do.
That's right.
You know that? There's a part of you, there's a part of me that if the Lord is on the cross, would cry, crucify him, just like that. Don't you realize there's a part of you right now that hates God? Don't you realize that? If you don't realize that, you don't understand the battle you're in. You're in a very real battle. Yeah, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't get your eyes on the sin. Keep them on the Lord, but be aware of that battle. He says there, let him that stole steal no more. Knock it off. Quit it. Quit it. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It's amazing there. The reason to work is so you got money to give to people. That's something. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Can a Christian cuss? Can a Christian do those things? Can a Christian have corrupt communication? Yeah. Yep, sure can. Quit it. You know, if you could control that tongue, you've arrived. You've arrived, according to James. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We'll get to that in a minute. Let all bitterness, old man, and wrath, old man, anger, old man, clamor, old man, evil speaking, old man, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, new man. Tender-hearted, new man, forgiving one another, new man, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. See that? You got that old man, you got that new man. There is a very real battle going on. You've got to work at it. Look at Philippians. Look at Philippians. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And look at verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. The Arminians, take it this way, work out your own salvation. Well, I hope I'm saved, but I just got to work at it. And I got to fear God with fear and trembling, work at it, and maybe I'll make it. Just scared to death. Well, I don't want to go to hell and just work it out with fear and trembling. That is not what that's talking about. It says, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. When you got saved, something happened on the inside. Amen? All right, what happened on the inside, get it on the outside. That's it. That's it. That love, that peace, that joy, that salvation, that goodness, that new man, get him on the outside. Work it out so that when people see you, they see a Christian. When they hear your speech, they hear godliness. When they are around you, it's like something's different. They must be a Christian. And it's not just your clothes, right? Thank God for dressing right. I believe in dressing right. But to what some speaks louder than that is how you are. The way you talk. The way you live. Things like that. But you got two natures and you got a battle. Now, if you ever have to go to the hospital, don't go in and say, well, I'm just real frustrated. I'm having a real battle with the old man. And I'm trying to live for the new man, but the old man keeps winning. I got this real battle going on. Don't do that. Because they'll say, oh, yeah. Say, yeah, I'm trying to live for God. Trying to be a holy live for God, but the old man just is real bad. I just got these voices in my head or whatever. So I'll write this way. We'll just lock you up for a while. You know, we'll give you some drugs, and, you know, then you'll really be in a mess. You got two natures. Yeah, two natures. You got to understand that. Now there's a battle going on there. And then look at Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And of course, when you sin, it grieves the Spirit of God. And so you gotta deal with that. But and confess it. But it says, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. When you got saved, the Spirit of God, we'll get into it real briefly, the circumcision being cut loose. But your soul got washed in the blood. All right? All the sins, that Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, right? Okay? And if a person dies lost, they are yet in their sins. So they go to hell. But you, when you got saved, the blood washed away your sins. That soul was cleansed. And then you were clothed in the righteousness of God. Spirit of God came along and sealed you. And that seal won't be broken till the rapture or until you die and you go home with the Lord. But you've been sealed. I mean, you ladies, we're getting ready to spring now. But have you ever done any canning? Maybe tomatoes or something? You get them tomatoes, put them in them jars, and tighten it down. Put in that water bath, and boy, it gets boiling, all that stuff, so many minutes. Pull them out, set them on a counter, and then you just wait. Now, that lid's bowed like that, and you're just waiting. And as they cool, just kind of working around there, and all of a sudden, bing, 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 bing. Oh, we're having that for dinner tonight. that one didn't seal. We can take that stuff, that fruit in there. It's absolutely pure. Perfect. I mean, sealed, preserved. Amen. Then you take them, those jars, you put them in the pantry. And maybe you missed one last year, and it goes 2 years. You go in there, oh, look at that. There's some from, 2003 or something like that. The jar has got dust on it, right? Jar's a little bit dirty, but inside, clean. It's clean. Why? There's a seal. When you got saved, you got sealed. The outside gets dirty, amen? But inside, it's still clean, amen? Inside is preserved to the day of redemption. We're out of here. We're going, amen? You're sealed. Sealed by God. Look at Colossians. Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And like I say, for some of you, this is old hat. But maybe there's some new Christians here that, maybe the devil love gets you to fear. Think, well, I don't know if I'm saved. Am I saved? Am I not saved? We were at a laundromat a few weeks back, and there's a guy there, and he was talking to Terry. I was out in the truck doing some work, and talking to Terry, and I finally went in there, and he was talking about the Lord. Couldn't help but talk about the Lord. He was talking about the Lord. Said, "You saved?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I don't think so." When they say, "No, I think I'm lost," there's a good chance they're probably saved. Because you don't argue with a lost person about being lost. The lost person says, "No, I'm saved. I'm a Christian." You're getting these charismatics that think they've lost. It's, are you saved? No, I'm lost. Why do you think you're lost? Because I sinned. Did you ever ask the Lord to save you? Oh, I've done that. Well, then the Bible says, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, I'm lost. Yeah. No, I really think so. No, I'm not. I'm lost. It's like, lost people don't argue with you about being lost. It's like, no, you're not going to talk me out of it. I'm talking to this guy, and he's talking about the Lord, and he knows Bible and all that stuff. So, I'm really not sure. I hope I make it. You know what? That guy could not do anything for Jesus Christ. Couldn't do a thing. If the Lord wanted him to go witness somebody, if the Lord wanted him to do this or that, he was useless to Jesus Christ. So he didn't have his assurance of knowing, here I am and I can fight. He didn't have it. Look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Brother Art, what time do you usually quit?
About 5 minutes.
Okay, all right. Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Now just believe it. You're complete, all right? Lord saved you, you're complete. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom, notice over and over, in whom, you got to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, this does not apply to you. In him also you're circumcised. Something's been cut. With the circumcision made without hands, it's spiritual. In putting off, something got put off. The body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him. Notice ye are risen with him. In other words, it's already happened if you're saved. It's not talking about when you die. Do you realize tonight, today, you're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? You're already there. Notice in putting off verse 12, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. God did the operation. And I know for a lot of you, you know this. I'm saying maybe there's somebody here that doesn't. But your soul, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. For you got saved, when your body sinned, your soul sinned. But when you got saved, there was a circumcision, or cutting loose. That soul was cut loose from that body. You got a new man, you got an old man. When the old man sins, it ain't touching the new man. The new man's sealed. The Spirit of God, sealed by God. So you got two natures now. One day the old man's getting put off completely. And we're out of here, we're going home. But you got those two parts there. Preacher, I don't understand all that. All right, one more thing, we're done. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Those things that I've covered, a lot of them are intellectual. But if you don't get all that, then there's one place to go, which is the best place to go. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Go to the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures. Stand on the promises. Ignore your feelings. Plead the book. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. P.S. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. J. Wilbur Chapman came to Moody. Chapman didn't have assurance of salvation. He went into Brother Moody and he said, I'm not sure I'm saved. And Brother Moody, a witness, talked to him and said, you've asked the Lord. He said, well, I've done that, he said, but I just keep doubting. He said, Brother Moody, he said, I really don't know for sure if I'm saved. And he said, okay, and he pointed to John 5:24. He said, Brother Chapman, read it out loud. And he read it out loud. He said, have you heard his word? He said, well, yeah. He said, did you believe on him? He said, yes, I did. He said, are you saved? He said, well, I think I am. But he said, what's the book say? He said, well, it says him. He said, I just keep doubting and I'm not really sure. He said, read it again. And he read it again out loud. And he said, you didn't? He said, well, Brother Moody, yes, I've done that, but I just keep doubting. Brother Moody said, read it again. And Brother Moody getting a little bit upset. And he read it again out loud. He said, you've done that? He said, well, yeah, I've told you I've done that, but I just keep doubting. He said, read it again. This time he's getting upset. He read it again out loud, went through the same thing. He said, have you done that? He said, yes, I've done that, but stop it. He said, hey. He said, who are you doubting? He stopped. He realized he was doubting the Word of God. It's the bottom line. I know I'm saved because what that book says. Because what that book says. If you don't get anything else, realize that this book's true. And according to the Bible, let me just 1 minute. I was in a church recently, and there was a guy in there. He had no assurance. He had no assurance of salvation. No, he didn't know, and he had literally asked the Lord to save him hundreds of times. And it was just rough. And he said, would you talk with me? I said, sure. And he said, I really don't know what to do. What do you have any advice? What do you think? I said, brother, I think you're saved. He said, well, yeah, but what about, you know, these people are saying I'm lost and I'm really not sure. I said, have you done what the Bible said? He said, well, yeah, I've done that. I said, did you do it best way you knew how from your heart? He said, well, yeah. I said, then according to the Bible, you're saved. And what else can you do? He said, well, you know, I was thinking about that. I said, what else can I do? I said, there's nothing else you can do. You just got to believe the book. You just got to believe the book. And I don't know if he's still got it, but he's doing a lot better. He had more assurance than he did. And whenever he doubts, you got to go back to that book. Back to that book. That's where you're going to stand. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your love, your gift of salvation. God, to be saved. And God, to be able to say, it's settled. And though I may make a mess of things here, one day I'll be home. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's lost, God, I pray they wouldn't leave lost. Pray, God, in the invitation, or they might ask pastor or myself or somebody here, say, I want to know how to be saved. No, I'm going to heaven. I pray they do that. Please, Lord, bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.